Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath to all of you. Welcome to Door Creek Church. And I want to thank the adventurer leadership for taking up the challenge to lead our adventurer club this year. So thank you very much, Toya and your team. And I just want to thank the kids. You know, church kids are very special. All kids are special, but church kids are extra special. And somebody said that the times when children are the most precious and innocent, it is when they are asleep. Some parents know what I'm talking about. And when they are praising Jesus. It was a delight hearing you sing this morning. Well, thank you. At least one person agreed with me. Praise the Lord. Today is World Adventurer Day. And the Adventurer Club became a worldwide part of the youth movement of our church back in the year 1989. And today, May 18th, is celebrated as World Adventurer Day. So all over the world, in churches, we would have programs like this happening everywhere. And the theme for this year is Jesus knows, he takes care of you. Now, Colin, I'm not seeing anything up on the screen. We should have a visual on the screen. Now, let me ask you a question. Who likes being woken up, being interrupted while you are sleeping? If you love just being woken up and interrupted while you're sleeping, let me see you raise your hand. Okay, let me try putting this back in. Now, I know you put your hands up, but I was busy fixing the screen, so I didn't see. So can I ask you to do it again? If you love being woken up while you are comfortably resting, especially if it's a cold night and you're under your warm blanket, you just love for someone to come and wake you up and interrupt you in your sleep. Is there anyone who less loves for that to happen? Okay. I see Clara and I see Ellen. So moms and dads, take note. No one loves to be interrupted, especially when you are tired. I was 5 years old, and I was woken up in the middle of the night by lots of commotion in my house. And as I opened my eyes and wondering what's going on, I am asking myself, why is there a lion roaring outside in my five-year-old mind? Don't worry about it, Colin. It's just a slide. It's very dark. And why is everyone awake? And why is there no electricity? And only to find out that it was a hurricane. The day had started beautifully. It was a Sunday. We went out to the beach. My family and I, all 10 of us, packed into our dad's Ford Cortina Mark II. Those of you into cars, you'd know, station wagon. 10 of us and a dog in that car, driving to the beach, and the dog got car sick and vomited all over the back. Station wagon, we're in the back. And the fumes of the tailpipe is coming through in the back. But we had a wonderful time because we were all together as one family. It was a perfect day, not a cloud in the sky. We enjoyed the beach. We went home later that afternoon, not knowing what was ahead of us. We did not know that there was a Category 5 hurricane that was headed straight for our little island of St. Lucia. And we went to sleep, not having a clue, and then I was awoken by the fury of the winds and the rain. And my dad, in a panic, going outside with the plea of my mom, please don't do this, but he had to because there was a tree that was tied to our house to help it from falling over, and he was fearful that if the wind knocked the tree over, it would take our house down. And when he came back inside, I remember the look on his face, like he had seen a ghost. My dad was a builder, so he knew about structures of buildings and houses. And when he saw what was happening to the walls of our house, he just said, okay, that's it, evacuation. We're all leaving. Now, what I didn't tell you is that the house across and one down, its roof popped up. And that's what happens in a hurricane. Because of the crazy changes in pressure, a house can become like a soda can full with pressure. And what actually happens is that the roof actually pops up like a cork from a Patriti bottle. Why are you laughing? And my dad saw the walls of our house buckling and he just was so scared. And that's what happens. Houses literally explode during severe Category 5 hurricanes. Packed us all into the car. We actually had to walk across because that house away from us, roof popped up, went over a coconut tree, came across, hit the side of our house, and landed in the footpath between our house and the next door neighbors. And we had to go around it in the car, heading to my grandmother's house. My dad was concerned about the welfare of his mom. Road was blocked because trees fell over. Went the other way, road was blocked, nowhere to go. So we hunkered down and spent the night in our car. And I tell this story and I thought it was all 10 of us, but I said it recently and my older brothers reminded me that some of them actually, there was a neighbor who had mercy on us and invited some of us. Some of them, I was too little, I stayed cradled in the arms of my mom. And all I could remember, there was this coconut tree watching through the window, swaying. And I was just afraid that that tree would fall and crash onto our house. But we were safe because my dad took control and took us away from danger. One day, Jesus had been teaching for a long time, and he told his disciples to get him into a boat and to sail across the Sea of Galilee. It was, again, a perfect day. The weather conditions were perfect, not a cloud in the sky. The sea was still. And the disciples, some of them were fishermen, they were used to sailing. They were expert sailors. And I like to think that they were sailing so well. The conditions were so perfect. And Jesus, probably being so tired, what did he do? He fell asleep. He fell asleep. That's okay. Because Jesus was a hard worker. And teaching and preaching and healing can become tiring. Sometimes all day long when Jesus is teaching, people are coming to him for healing, and sometimes he just needed to retreat to get some rest and to reconnect with his Father. But then suddenly, a massive storm arose. And the sea began to rage, the wind began to howl, lightning flashed across the sky. So much so that even experienced fishermen and sailors on the Sea of Galilee, they were scared to death. Anyone ever has been scared to death thinking that you are going to die? Has anyone ever been in a situation like that? I have been. And they literally said that we are going to die because of this storm. And where was Jesus? In the midst of this turmoil, this calamity, this danger that they're facing, where was Jesus? Do you remember? Jesus was asleep. And so they did what anyone who is in danger and is scared should do. What is that? They went to Jesus to try to get him to help. And today, my message is for boys and girls, the little boys and girls, and the bigger boys and girls. When you are in danger, when you are afraid, when you do not know what to do, the best thing to do is to go to Jesus for help. But the disciples, you know, they were disciples. Jesus chose them, but they were not perfect. They had to spend time with Jesus so they can learn about faith and about God's power. They didn't quite get how powerful God was. This thing that we call faith and prayer and depending on Jesus, they didn't quite figure it out yet. And do you know what they said to Jesus when they saw Jesus is asleep in the midst of the storm that they thought would kill them all? They said to Jesus, "Don't you care about us? Don't you care that we could be drowning? You are sleeping. Why are you asleep?" Now, does Jesus care? Did he care about them? Now, you will say yes. How do we know? Jesus is described as the good shepherd. And one day he told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. How many sheep did the shepherd have? 100 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. That's not even 100 sheep on the screen. Nowhere close. And in John chapter 10, verse 14, this is what Jesus says about himself. It's on the screen, but I want to read from my Bible. Not that it's any different, but I like to read from the Bible. It's in the screen, on the screen, so you can check out what I'm saying to see if it's true. John chapter 10, verse 14. The words of Jesus. Jesus says, John chapter 10, yes, I'm in chapter 8, verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." Jesus says that he knows his sheep. Now, the shepherd had 100 sheep, and then one day he noticed that one sheep was missing. Now, that tells you something about that shepherd. This shepherd knew his sheep. He knew every single one of them by their face, by their physical appearance. Now, you and I, if we have 100 sheep, we probably wouldn't be able to tell one from another. If we miss one out of 100, we probably wouldn't even notice, but not this shepherd. Because this shepherd loved and cared for all of his sheep. I once studied the Bible with a dairy farmer. And he had a herd of about 25 dairy cattle. And he told me that he knows every single one of them by their face. They're all distinct to him. And he told me that he loves every single one of them. This shepherd also did not say, "Oh well, I have 100 sheep. If I lose one, what does it matter? I still have 99. You and I probably would say that, but not this shepherd. And what does he do? He leaves the 99 to do what? to go out into the wilderness to search for this one sheep who is lost. Now, I can imagine, I want us to imagine, church, boys and girls, little boys and girls, and bigger boys and girls. The 99 sheep could be saying, he's leaving us alone, defenseless. How are we going to feed ourselves? What if something bad happens to us? Who is there to protect us? He doesn't care about us. All he cares about is this one sheep. But what if you were that one sheep who's lost? Would you care that the shepherd would be looking for you? Yes, you would. And if those 99 sheep really cared, rather than complaining that the shepherd is leaving them alone to go out and look for that one sheep that's lost, if they cared and had a loving heart like the shepherd, they too would be helping the shepherd to find the sheep that was lost. And when he finds that sheep, he cradles that sheep in his arms, checks it to make sure that it is unharmed and it is healthy, carries it on his shoulders. And in this story that Jesus told, remember Jesus told this story, a parable we call it. He celebrates with all of his friends and neighbors that this one sheep that was lost is found. And I pray to God that the 99 sheep, if it were possible, that they would be happy as well that their lost friend was found. And Jesus says he is that good shepherd who cares enough, who knows his sheep, every single one of them. No sheep is just a random number, a statistic for the good shepherd, but he knows and cares about every single one. One of the things shepherds did was to protect their sheep from what you may say. Sometimes wolves would attack the flock to try to eat the sheep. And do you know what the shepherd would do, boys and girls? Big boys and girls and little boys and girls? The good shepherd would defend the sheep. That's why he has his rod, so that he can chase away the bad wolves who are trying to attack and eat the sheep. Does the shepherd care? Yes, he does, because he's willing to put his life on the line. And Jesus says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So does Jesus care? Yes, he does. He says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Jesus knows exactly how many strands of hair that are on your head. And even when they are getting fewer and fewer as you get older, and I always say, thank God I'm not bald. But if I were to really be honest, there's a little bit less hair in the middle of my head. Little bit, not much. But God still knows. When you went to bed last night, if there are fewer strands of hair this morning, he knows. That's how much he knows about you. That's how much he cares about you. He says, a sparrow does not fall from its nest if the father does not know about it. And you are worth much more than a sparrow. So does Jesus care? Yes, he does. So the disciples, they were wrong to ask Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we drown? And Jesus, I don't think Jesus is like me, who probably does not like being disturbed when he's asleep. Jesus woke up, and Jesus looked around him. He saw the waves crashing over the bow of the ship. He heard the wind howling. He saw that the wind was destroying the sails of the ship. Now let me ask you a question, boys and girls. Did Jesus make the sea? Yes or no? Yes, Jesus made the sea. Did Jesus make the wind? Yes, Jesus made the wind. He has the power to make the wind and the sea. Now let me ask the little boys and girls another question. Did your mommy and daddy make you? Yes or no?
No.
Well, that's a very good answer, and a very interesting answer. They made you. You are here because of them. They provide you food. They provide you shelter. They provide you love and care. So, let me ask another question. When they ask you to do something, should you obey?
Yes.
Yes. And so Jesus looks at the water, the sea, and the wind that he made. And the Bible says, if you read in your Bible, it would say that he rebuked the wind and the waves. But in the original language, it's a bit harsher than this. It says that Jesus told the wind and the sea to hush. And maybe we can be a little bit more gentle. Boys and girls, sometimes when boys and girls maybe are too loud or too disruptive, what do grown-ups usually do? They ask you to shh. And that's what Jesus said to the storm. He said to the storm, shh. He said to the storm, be quiet. Behave yourself. Settle down. Things that boys and girls usually hear. And sometimes it can be difficult to be quiet. And right now I'm seeing a mom telling a son to shh, be quiet. That's what Jesus did. And because the sea and the wind were made by Jesus, they had no choice but to be obedient to him. Later on, when his disciples saw what happened, Jesus commanded the sea to be still, and he rebuked it, said to it, be quiet. And all of a sudden, the sea became calm. And the disciples had no reason anymore to be scared. More than this, Jesus said to them, where is your faith? In other words, what Jesus was saying to them, big boys and girls and little boys and girls, you do not only have to not be afraid when the storm ends, but even in the midst of the storm, you should not fear. Because Jesus knows what you are going through. And he cares. Many people can learn a thing or two about life from the sea and the wind. Do you know you can actually learn from a storm? When Jesus told the storm to be quiet, the storm was obedient and it hushed. It calmed down. So many people today find it difficult to obey Jesus. They don't care what Jesus wants them to do and not do. They do as they please. And that hurts Jesus. If you really cared about Jesus, you would be obedient to what he says and what he does. Because when we obey Jesus, we are safe. because he cares for us and he protects us. Now, one final thing I want to share with you, one thought and a story, and we will end. Do you know, boys and girls, that sometimes Jesus does not always calm the storm? If I were to leave you with the impression that every time you go for a storm, Jesus will always calm the storm, then I would be giving you some misinformation. Because the Bible is not written this way. There are people in the Bible that went through some storms in their lives and Jesus never calmed them. So Jesus does not always calm the storm. Sometimes Jesus lets the storm rage and do its thing. But, there's a but. In those situations, when we call on Jesus, when we think he's asleep and we call on him for help, even though he does not calm the storm, he will calm his child to give you peace and strength and patience and perseverance to go through the storm. One day, a little girl was flying on an airliner. She was only about 6 years old, and she was flying alone. That airplane was going through a storm. The wind was driving the airplane off course. The turbulence was bouncing that airplane around. The pilot had to ask people to fasten their seatbelt tightly and ask the flight attendants to take their seats. Everyone on that plane was terrified. You see them grabbing their seats and they're crying. Even tears were flowing because they thought that airplane would crash. That is everyone except one person, that little six-year-old girl. She was calmly reading her storybook and coloring in the pictures. Seated next to her was a businessman who was a frequent flyer. Every year he would fly over 100,000 kilometers for work. And he had been through some turbulence and some storms before, but he had never experienced such a bad flight. And he was scared, a grown man. And he looked and he sees this little girl calmly reading and coloring in. And he says to her, "Little girl, aren't you scared?" And she says, "No." And she continued coloring in. And she said, "I travel over 100,000 kilometers every year. I have seen some terrible storms. This is the worst that I've ever seen, and I am scared. Why aren't you scared?" And very calmly, she looks up at him and she says, "Because I know the pilot, he's my father, and I trust him." We can be calm through our storms, even if Jesus does not take the storm away, because our Father, who is in heaven, he is in control. Now, boys and girls, today we learned that Jesus knows us. He knows what we are going through. He cares for us and he loves us. But I'm wondering something. Do you know Jesus? Do you care about Jesus? Do you really know him, or do you only know about him? What's the difference, Pastor? Well, you know about Jesus. You hear about him in church, in the Sabbath school lesson. You read about him in the Bible. You read about him in the Sabbath school pamphlet. You study. You've listened to sermons, 3ABN, good preachers. So you know a lot of things about Jesus, but do you know him? Is he your friend? Do you talk to him? Do you depend on him? Do you ask him for his advice? Do you care what he thinks? Do you have a personal relationship with him? That's what it is to know Jesus. To have him as a friend daily walking with you. So I'm wondering how many today who are here Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you already know him, but you would like to get to know him better. If you already know Jesus and you want to know him better, why don't you raise your hands with me? I want to get to know Jesus better. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, I will keep your hands up. Everyone who knows Jesus want to get to know him better. And if you already know him, if you don't know him and you say, I want to know him, I want to know Jesus, I want him in my life, I invite you also to raise your hand. And let's all stand together as we sing our closing hymn. It's number 99 in the hymnal. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. I just want to leave you with a promise from Jesus in John 14, verse 13. He says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this timely message that you know of our lives, our situations, the things that we go through. You are not asleep, because he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Your eyes are open. Everything is laid before you, Lord. Father, I want to pray and commit to you anyone who may be going through some difficulty, some turmoil, turbulence in their lives right now, Father. Sometimes we come to church, we put on a brave face, we smile, we wish each other a happy Sabbath. But sometimes, Lord, deep down inside, we are struggling. And I pray, Lord, that your hand of mercy may touch such a person if they are here or watching online, Father. May we be able to say when we leave this place that we have been with Jesus and that he has heard our cries and he has touched us. And Father, may this blessing rest with every single person who is worshiping you today. And now, Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, your richest blessings may attend us and bring us back again to worship you. But between now and then, Lord, we pray that worship may continue in our homes, in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, and that Jesus may be present wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.